Web hosting for Lowdown Radio is provided by HostGator.com. Use the code LOWDOWNRADIO and receive $9.94 off your next hosting package. Eat up the competition at HostGator.com. You're listening to The Lowdown.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode 16 of The Lowdown. Today is Wednesday, February 9th, 2011, and as always, I am joined by my boy, Bobby Rogue. Bobby, welcome to the Lowdown.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you, Carlos.
All right, let's get right into the Lowdown, and let's talk about the movies that are hitting the theaters this week. We got four big movies this week. The first one is Just Go With It with Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, and Brooklyn Decker. It's about a dude who likes to wear a wedding ring and pretend he's married to get chicks. And he's got to prove to the one chick that he fell in love with that he is getting a divorce. And that's where Jennifer Aniston steps in and pretends she's about to become his ex-wife. Bobby, have you looked at this trailer and are you going to go see this movie?
Not going to see it. I think it's another typical Adam Sandler movie and another typical Jennifer Aniston movie. So, you know, they're good actors, but I've seen their work before. I like their work. I appreciate their work. But going to save my $6 for the early show and going to go buy me an ice cream.
You know, I read something kind of interesting. I think it was yesterday. Which it was a story about Jennifer Aniston that said that she almost went on Saturday Night Live back in the day before she went on to Friends, and she turned down the role on Saturday Night Live because she didn't like the culture. She wasn't feeling something about the whole, you know, just the culture of Saturday Night Live, and she ended up taking the role on Friends, and the rest is history. So, just thought I'd throw that out there.
And you know, that is a very good point, because when I look at her work now, it looks Saturday Night Live-ish, like Adam Sandler's work and, you know, Adam Sandler's castmates. So maybe she's catching up.
But, you know, the funny part, I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl, but did you see the ad for this movie during the Super Bowl?
I've been seeing the ad. Yeah, I saw it during the Super Bowl, and I've been seeing the ad during the theaters. I mean, it's getting quite a good push. It's probably, you know, getting executive produced by Adam Sandler's company, which he usually tends to executive produce his own films. So it's cool. There are some funny scenes, and I love the scene where she's like, "You're married," and then he's like, "Well, no, I'm not married," and he's trying to do this whole, you know, dog and pony show. So those pieces look pretty good. But what did you best like about the Super Bowl commercial?
Well, the ad in the Super Bowl was, of course, there's a bunch of guys watching the Super Bowl, and what does the ad have? It has the chick coming out of water in a bikini walking towards Adam Sandler, and I'm pretty sure no one actually paid attention to what the ad was for, because the chick was coming at you in a bikini. So I just thought it was a kind of a funny ad, a perfect marketing opportunity for this movie during the Super Bowl. So
I have three words for that. Bikinis are great.
All right, the next movie on our list is Romeo and Juliet. It's with an animated feature with James McAvoy, Emily Blunt, and Maggie Smith, and it's about a garden gnome, a red gnome and a blue gnome who fall in love. It's a take on the William Shakespeare story Romeo and Juliet. Bobby, are you going to check out this movie?
There's nothing more that I like but midgets and real people, especially midgets with beards. For those of you guys following the career of Emily Blunt, she is on the cusp of to greatness. So I think I will go see this movie because I love Emily Blunt. I'll probably marry her one day if I let her.
Cool. The next one up is Cedar Rapids with Ed Helms, John C. Reilly, and Anne Hetch. It's a story of a man in free fall. According to IMDb, he's on the road to redemption and darkness lights his way. Oh, actually, I take that back. That's not what this story's about. I'm all reading.
Let me help the story you out from last here, week. Carlos. Let me help you out here, buddy. So, if you are a fan of The Hangover, it is with the guy who pulled his tooth out, the dentist, Ed Harris, and he is going out leaving work and he's going to a convention like a lot of us working professionals like to do. And what's the first thing they do? They go to the bar. And what do you do after you go to the bar? You get in your car and you go out and you have some fun. So I think that it's going to hit home for a lot of people who leave town. I think a lot of wives may be upset if they see this movie because then they'll know what their husbands are really up to when they leave town. But it's a cool movie because I believe he sells insurance. And I think he's on his way to becoming a leading man. And I hope that there will be a midnight showing because I will be there. And I think this is going to be one of the first true good comedies of 2011.
Yeah, yeah. It looked pretty good. The trailer looked pretty good. Looked pretty funny. It's got the one guy from Tega de la Nights, which was the
got the one guy from The Wire.
Yeah, it was. It seemed pretty good.
They've got a good cast. They've got a good cast, and I'll tell you, I see this movie. And it brings flashbacks to me, you know, whether, you know, I've been with my group that goes to conventions in Las Vegas when I worked for a corporation to back when I would be sent over to Leadership Academy when I was up and coming pro. So I think everything will hold true to what this flick should be.
Right. All right. The last one.
It won't quite take me home tonight, but it'll be close.
Last one on our list, and I hate to bring it up, but we would not be the lowdown if we weren't covering the big movies that are coming out during the week. And as much as it pains me to talk about this movie, maybe we'll just go over it real fast. But Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. Bobby, I know you're gonna go see it. Talk to me about Justin Bieber.
No comment.
All right, moving on. Talk to me a little bit about what's in your Netflix queue.
30 something. Because in the next 10 years, I'm going to be 30-something. And I heard that this series was the hit of its heyday. The Dallas, the Dynasty, the Knots Landing, if you will. So I am going to watch 30-something on Netflix. And in 10 years, if you're going to be 30-something like me, you should watch it too. Because it talks about what happens when you're married, you're settling down. Has some awesome characters, awesome cast, awesome storylines, and it's touching.
Cool, cool. In my Netflix instant queue, I still got Legendary in there. I didn't get a chance to watch it this week, so I'm going to try to queue that up sometime. And then on DVD, I've got the A-Team coming. I heard the movie sucked, but I got to watch it because it's the A-Team, so go ahead and check it out. Report back to the Lowdown next week. All right, let's move on to our main topics. Bobby, I know this one's near and dear to your heart. Rumor has it, Friday Night Lights is ending. Talk to me about it.
Friday Night Nights is ending, actually. It's going to start in an hour and a half. So in 2.5 hours, the series finale of Friday Night Lights will come to a close. And Bobby Rogue is very, very sad about this. There have been 5 seasons of Friday Night Lights. Contrary to popular belief, Friday Night Lights is not just about football. On Friday Night Lights, it's about Americana. It's about a wife, a husband, kids growing up, the dilemmas that they go through in a small town of fictional Dillon, Texas. It has gone down as probably one of the greatest series ever written in the history of television. It has won a Peabody Award, and to gain a Peabody Award means you are the best. One of the things that's very sad is that it has not been watched. You know, not a lot of people watched it. It garnered in, you know, 1.1, 1.3, you know, million viewers a week. ABC has picked up its syndication rights. NBC actually was the one who owned it. And it is a great film. It has great characters. It's got very good actors. Everybody did a magnificent job. It takes you from high school life to adult life to life after you are an adult. To having kids, it is a piece of work, a piece of art that has been created. And yes, to spice things up, they do show a little bit of football on Friday nights, but not very. So I encourage all of you, put it on your Netflix. It's coming to an end, and you will see a rogue gallery on it next week as we bid adieu to the great live action show about contemporary life in America. Friday Night Lights.
You know, I saw the first couple of episodes based on your recommendation. I did enjoy it. I think, you know, we might end up watching it as a series. We ended up getting caught up in Battlestar Galactica, so that kind of got put to the wayside. But we're looking for a new series to get into, and Friday Night Lights is definitely up there. I know you've raved about it over the last few years. I think it's something we'll probably get into and see if it's as good as everyone says it is.
What'd you think about the pilot?
It's been a couple months. It was good. I mean, it caught me. It got me wanting to watch more of them. Like I said, that was right around the same time we started watching Battlestar. So Battlestar just kind of took precedence. But I enjoyed it. I told my wife about it, and she said, "Well, maybe it's something we can get into." But I thought it was good. I thought it was real good.
It's definitely families. The entire family can get into. It is a critically acclaimed series. It was inspired by a best-selling book and a hit theatrical movie. The Associated Press has called it breathtaking in how it captures ordinary life set against extraordinary passions. And I think one of the things that I just love about shows is when you don't see the happy endings. You see what really would have happened. And that's what's so great about Friday Night Lights. You know, challenges and obstacles on and off the field.
Right.
Just a compelling drama about a tight-knit community. So Friday Night Lights, watch it if you haven't. It's by Peter Berg. He has created some very, very good, TV. He's created movies, of course, in the past. And if you are a passionate fan of television, then you need to watch this.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, let's talk a little bit about V this week. V was an absolutely exceptional episode this week. I was on the edge of my seat because I really wasn't sure what was going to happen, even though I had predicted a couple things in my head before it went down. Bobby Rogue, talk to me about V.
I think that John May still lives.
That's what the fifth column says.
I think he's around. I'm starting to think he is the V. The guy with the kid. What's his name again?
The guy with the kid. Oh, you're talking about Ryan?
The tail cutter, I like to call him.
Yeah, but see, the thing is they've already shown John May. So in your opinion, are you saying they can switch skins?
I think he switched skins. I think he has.
So what's the deal with the kid then? Is it just a ploy, or is it just part of the Grandmaster plan?
Red Rain.
So what was it?
I got to tell you, V's getting really excited. There's so many twists and turns. I think the writers have really turned it up a notch because I think it was on the edge of getting canceled. It could still be canceled. If it is canceled, they're starting to tie up the loose ends pretty quickly. There is not a storyline that I do not like. I love how you've got the story of the battling queens. They somehow think now that if they kill Anna that, that the queen will be a good queen. I don't necessarily think she'll be a good queen. I think that as she grows up and her lizard hormones take place, that she'll become like her mother. I mean, look at Diana, look at Anna, look at the third generation supergirl/queen. I think she doesn't know, or the fifth column knows what they're in for if they try to assassinate Anna. I still want to see some characters, come back. Marcus getting shot. I'm not so sure we needed that yet. I think it's a little bit early. But, hey, that can be John Mays as well. What do you think?
Yeah, and now they've got this whole engineer guy kind of coming into the mix. And if you kind of carefully watch the previews, one of the fifth column guys had a gun in his face and then he kind of backed off of him. So is this guy going to become fifth column too? Is it part of the conspiracy with Joshua and this engineer guy and whether or not her second in command, the dude that got shot, is part of fifth column?
He could be definitely. And we still are waiting, for Mark Donovan, who was part of the show in the past as well. He was the nemesis of Diana in the original series. And this time around, he's supposed to be part of some, top secret, anti-V organization. So they haven't shown him yet. So, Mark Singer, we're waiting for you, buddy, because I'm going to pop big time when you show up.
What I thought was kind of cool from last week, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it yet, was they hadn't actually named Diana. We kept calling her Diana because that was her name in the original series, but they actually said her name last week. What'd you think about that?
I think she's dirty, like Dirty Diana. Yeah, dude. I'll tell you this: lizards, they only like power. Diana's got something up her sleeve. And just because they say, oh my God, we've captured human emotion, doesn't mean she's trying to manipulate it to use human emotion against the humans to take over the Earth.
What do you think about this whole idea that the fact that they're trying to pinpoint the human soul and eradicate it?
I think that every sci-fi show somehow always wants to tie in some sort of religious belief to it, and I think that's their take on it. Battlestar Galactica has done it. Star Wars reeks of it. And now V has it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, this whole religious component, I'm getting...
Not a big fan?
Nah, not really. I don't know. Not really. I wish they'd kind of done something different. It seems kind of far-fetched, too, maybe because we have an idea of what... You can't really harness the human soul that we know of. So the idea that... I guess it goes back to this. It is an alien culture that doesn't understand what they're trying to do. So I mean, I guess I get it from that point, but I'm not really digging this whole them trying to do that. What I am interested to see finally is it looks like from the trailers is Anna's daughter and her mother kind of finally meet up again, and it's gonna be interesting to see what happens between those two.
I think there's going to be some sort of collaboration, but I think Diana ultimately wants to take over, and all hell's going to break loose again. And I've got a feeling that Diana has met Mark Singer before.
Oh, that's interesting. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I think the Beastmaster is going to go up against the Lizard Master.
So they're really
the Lizard Queen.
you think they're going to try to tie it into the original series at some point then?
I hope so. I think that this that you know when the Beastmaster returns, I think that the Earth has had contact. I mean, remember, you know, we've seen government on the low end of it, you know, the authorities, but you haven't seen government, you know, in it yet. And I think that's where Mark Singer is going to come in. You know, some sort of Area 54.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for. All of a sudden, you know, we're going to find ourselves in Roswell, New Mexico, Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's find out, man. I mean, right now they've got nothing to lose. Turn up the heat. Turn it up.
Yeah, it's getting pretty good in this whole structure that they're building, and they're alluding to those stealth ships again. It's all the ships that are on their way to Earth.
Great, great storylines. And, you know, one of the ones that I like is I'm waiting for, you know, Agent Evans' son to go to the dark side. He's gonna go.
Yeah, that kid, man. I was cursing that kid out today because I just think I don't dig that whole character thing. But remind me again, what her husband? What other stuff has her husband been on? Because he looks really. He looks really familiar.
I think he's been with WB and CW networks before. That's where you've probably seen him. I think he's One Tree Hill.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember where I've seen him before. That's good, man. I can't wait. I hope they don't cancel V, but it looks like they, you know, from what you were saying, they already cut back the number of shows for this particular season. I think they're
if anything, they'll make it a great miniseries.
Right.
Hopefully.
I think they're trying real hard to do something with it. And I started kind of thinking about this stuff and you know, the idea of big media and when they cut these shows out. I think if there was only a way that if it got cut on TV, that they take it to the web, right? That, you know, the shows like Sarah Connor or even Heroes, or if they do a season on the web just to kind of close it out, maybe it's not worth it from a production standpoint and marketing because it just costs too much money to do a full-blown show on the web like that. But, man, could you imagine the power if more of these networks started to think outside the box a little bit and take it, you know, start doing webisodes and that kind of stuff?
Exactly. And there is one network who did that. And actually, you know, it's one of the subjects of our, you know, talk shows today is that, you know, Friday Night Lights was actually canceled after three season three.
Right.
Oh, actually, I take it back. Friday Night Lights was canceled after season two. So the first season of Friday Night Lights had a full order of your, you know, your standard 21, 22 episodes.
Right.
Then after the second season, that's when the writers and actors strike came. So Friday Night Lights was cut to like, I believe, I want to say like 8 to 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. So it was the mid-season cliffhanger was actually the season finale.
Right.
And then they weren't going to renew anymore. But DirecTV came along and they gave NBC a pretty good deal. And they said, hey, you know what? We know that the show is not expensive to produce. We know that you don't want to pay to produce it. So here's the deal. We will pay to produce it. You pay the actors based on the ratings. But you let us air the show first,
right,
on our own channel, which if you have DirecTV, it's the 101. And basically the 101 for anybody who's had Comcast or any type of channel, that's just kind of the channel that just shows previews, you know?
Right.
But they had the exclusive rights to show it first. So then in the fall season, you know, Friday Night Lights, you know, airs on the 101. And then NBC airs it, you know, in the spring as a new season.
Right.
So That garnered that network a ton of attention, and subscribers to the 101, you know, or to DirecTV, you know, skyrocketed. So I think you'll start seeing the networks think about like, hey, you know, what if we start cutting deals with Comcast, TV Guide, US Weekly? You know, they have nothing to lose. All of a sudden, you can see websites like TMZ or let's say PerezHilton.com. Be able to afford something like this, produce it on their sites where you know it's going to get a ton of hits,
right,
where you know a ton of advertisement it's going to come, and then based on that revenue stream, then everybody can get paid.
Yeah, it'd be good, man. Or even it's a way for somebody to pick up these shows that get canceled and just end it and just finish it off. And you know what? But you know, the idea that a big network would do something like that is pretty null and void. But you know, with Comcast buying out NBC Universal, you know, it could change the game a little bit.
And, with Netflix now making net streaming,
right,
you know,
right,
normal. It's the new normal. Net streaming is very normal now.
Right. Now that's a good point too.
You can see season 6 of Friday Night Lights potentially on lowdownradio.com.
Right. Yeah, if they were allowed us to embed it and all that. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be really good. All right, so let's move on to our website picks of the week. Bobby, what's your pick of the week?
Skull Candy, baby. SQULLCANDY. It is headphones. I'm sure you've seen them at Target. I'm sure you've seen them at your local mall. They compete directly against Beats by Dre. It is an awesome, awesome headphone company. Their low-end line starts at $20. Their high-end line goes up to $200. But I'll tell you this, if you are a resident of the San Francisco Bay Area, specifically the South Bay, and you go to Valley Fair Mall, Skull Candy had a pretty good thing going. They knew that they always wanted to sell online and that they only wanted to sell online. But when you walk around the mall and you see those little kiosks in the middle of the aisles, they decided to put the kiosks out there with Skull Candy merchandise for 1 to 2 years.
Right.
And they sold there just to get their name out. Well, now they're so popular, everybody's just buying online. So if you're at Valley Fair Mall, they're shutting down that kiosk. So you can get these expensive headphones for 50% off because they're just burning out their inventory. Actually, I was there yesterday. Got myself a pair of $40 headphones for $10.
Nice.
I got the Bobby Rogue discount. So I'm proud to say that my headphones of choice are actually my Skull Candy Hesh headphones that I use to podcast with.
Right.
And now I go and jog with my Skull Candy Riot headphones.
Nice.
50% off. You can't beat it. South Bay, Valley Fair. Check it out. If not, if you're not fortunate enough, you got to be wearing Skull Candies, baby. Wear them and it'll change your life.
Nice. Sounds good. Yeah, I need to pick up some, definitely need to pick up some better headphones so we can do these recordings and can edit this kind of stuff a little bit better. So my website pick of the week for this week is called KindleLendingClub.com. So I don't know if you guys heard, Amazon is allowing people with Kindles to actually loan out their books. So you can, there's a way that you can, from the Amazon website, you can, if I have a book on Kindle and Bobby Rogue wants to read it, I hit a button that says lend to Bobby Rogue. I put in his email address and bam, I can't read it anymore on my Kindle, but Bobby Rogue can read it on his Kindle for 14 days Well, of course, if you don't have a whole lot of Kindles or you don't have a whole lot of friends with Kindles, how are you finding these books? So this website popped up, and it's a way for people to come together and loan out their books and pass codes along to each other in a safe way without giving up their emails and all that good stuff. So check it out, KindleLendingClub.com. I personally haven't used it yet, but I'm getting ready to sign up for it and start reading some Kindle books because I didn't think I was going to enjoy the electronic platform for reading books. And I downloaded the Kindle app for my Android phone, and I come to like it a lot. It's awesome. It's portable. Really considering buying a Kindle itself, just because I can put a ton of books on there. The only thing that really keeps me from doing it is the fact that ebooks are just as expensive as regular books in most cases, which I don't understand why that is. I know they're trying to milk the market as much as they can right now, but hopefully if they become a little bit less expensive, it'll be a lot better. But I think platforms like the Kindle and the Nook and all that good stuff is going to change the way libraries, what you know as a library, and it's really probably going to move us away from a physical book to more of a electronic platform for our libraries and that kind of stuff. So check it out, KindleLendingClub.com, and get your Kindle on. So
if I had a Kindle, my first book would be Water for Elephants.
What's that book about?
Water for Elephants. I'm just kidding, Carlos. It's not about water for elephants. It's about an elephant, and it's a love story. But most importantly, it's about the circus. And I just got to tell all the folks, if you're ever down, go to the circus, because it is fun.
All right, everybody, if you want to learn more about the Lowdown, you can visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/lowdownradio. Bobby Rogue, take us out.
This is lowdownradio.com saying we are better than Christmas. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a Lowdown Radio production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.